The San Antonio Spurs evened their second round playoff series with the Houston Rockets in game two, as the Spurs came away with the 121-96 blowout over the Rockets just after Houston had defeated San Antonio and took home court from them in game one by 27 points. Along the way, though, while a win is good for San Antonio, they did lose something very valuable in the game, which was their starting point guard, Tony Parker, who suffered a ruptured left tendon quadricep injury, and now he will be out for the remainder of the playoffs, as the team announced on Thursday. I am Paul Garcia of ProjectSpurs.com. Let's go ahead and break down what happened in Game 2 for the Spurs to even the series, and looking ahead to how the Spurs will have to play now, minus Parker in the rest of the series, as it shifts to Houston. So let's start off with the key playmakers for San Antonio. Kawhi Leonard, another monster game. 34 points on 16 shots. The guy only missed three shots. He shot 13 of 16, 81% from the floor. That's, you know, David Fizdale in the last series against the Grizzlies called him robotic, and that's very, very robotic, is to basically have like a minor malfunction and missing just three shots on 16 attempts in 38 minutes. Kawhi didn't get to the free throw line as much, but he, like I said, he had shot 81%, so he didn't really have to get there. So he made all five of his free throws when he got there. He was leading assist man for his team. He ended up accounting for 21 assists to his teammates. So when he put his points scored with his assist totals together, he ended up scoring 55 total points for the Spurs as far as contributing to them, which was 45% of their scoring in game two. He knocked down his threes, 3 of 4 from three-point line. He almost got close to a triple-double with 8 assists and 7 rebounds. And again, he played 38 minutes. So let's see what Kawhi did to the Rockets' defense. One thing you saw was that before even going first on the offensive end, you have to give credit to Kawhi for actually play defense on James Harden. Coach Pop put him on there. So he was playing basically very much a two-way game the entire game. Usually he gets Harden like at the end in crunch time or the best scorer. This time Kawhi, from start to finish, his job was to stay on Harden and then, of course, go score on the other end for his team and keep the offense going. You know, the Rockets, they had a really good game one. The Spurs missing a lot of shots. And so Houston's defense did a really good job in game one. They were a little bit tighter in the rotations and staying on their man. Game two, they kind of fell to that 18th defense that they pretty much were in the regular season. I mean, Kawhi's the Spurs' best player, and you don't want him to get any open shots, but he actually got a few spot-up open looks against the Rockets early. He saw a lot more Eric Gordon guarding him after the first quarter, even though Trevor Ariza did a really good job in game one of denying him the ball. Ariza wasn't really giving the Rockets anything on offense on the other end, so you saw Gordon get a little bit more minutes. And he guarded Kawhi, and Kawhi had his way with getting by Gordon off pick and rolls. And it wasn't a problem for him. If he got in the ball in transition, he quickly pushed the pace. He got any kind of mismatches he wanted, whether it was a guard or a big guy, or he got really good favorable matchups also in the switches. He really had his floater game go where he kind of get into the lane off the pick and roll, and he put that little 8-foot hook shot over the any kind of, whether it was a big or a guard, and he got some valuable points there. He had both his mid-range and his three-point shot going, whether that was contested or wide open or just off the dribble. I mean, the Rockets really had no answer for him. He really took his time as well in the post. He read the defense, so like anytime they did run a post up for him, he kind of just observed the defense, see who's wide open, kick the pass out. He had his driving kick action going as well, getting to the lane, finding open three-point shooters, very much like what James Harden is able to do. And he actually assisted on 5 of the Spurs' 9 made three-point baskets. And on defensive end as well, played some good help defense. So Kawhi kept the flow going, the boat going for San Antonio in game two with a stellar performance, 34 points. Switching over to LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, after scoring 4 points, the Spurs really needed him to step up in game two. And, you know, he didn't have his best shooting night. He scored 15 points on 14 shots, which is a 40% shooting. He also gave the team 8 rebounds and 2 blocks, and he played 30 minutes. But what was interesting was that after the game, Coach Pop revealed that. They asked Coach Pop, one of the reporters asked Coach Pop, you know, is his left knee hurting? Because apparently, I think on the TNT broadcast, they kept talking about that. And Pop said, no, it's not the left knee, but he says he's working through some things. So Coach Pop did reveal that Aldridge isn't 100% right now. And maybe that has a little bit to do with why he hasn't been as aggressive as people would have thought in this series, especially with some of the favorable matchups he can get down in the low block. But, you know, despite not being 100%, he was still much more aggressive in game two rather than in game one. So the Rockets still kind of posted him up where something that Zach Lowe pointed out, one of his pieces, was that they stay on his left, on his, on his left shoulder because Aldridge, you know, likes to spin right and try to get use this power move to kind of get a little hook shot or get a foul call. And so Nene, Ryan Anderson, they continue to guard him in that way. The Rockets still sent some help defense to that baseline to try to double team if he did get past the initial defender. But Aldridge took advantage of taking his over-the-shoulder shots on the right side. And, you know, the shots didn't go in. A few did. But he just kept shooting them, and that's what kind of they need him to do is continue to be a threat where he's going to draw a double team that way he can kick out and get some of his teammates some shots. The Rockets continue to give him pick and pop or just mid range jumpers from the elbow area, and he continued to shoot. He didn't make many of them, but he continued to shoot them. He needs to keep shooting, and then once he gets that rhythm, that'll be a very valuable weapon for San Antonio. And he was also active even if he didn't have the ball. Monta Ginobili found him for a few cuts. Some of the other Spurs' players. So he stayed more active. And now with the injury to Tony Parker, they're definitely going to need him to be that second playmaker next to Kawhi, because you know Parker had been that guy, as I'll talk about in a little bit when we go over his injury status. And now they really need Aldridge. You know, Aldridge is kind of okay shifting to being that third playmaker. He should have been the second, obviously, because he's the second max player next to Kawhi. But now they really need him to step up and be that second playmaker for San Antonio's offense, especially. It's kind of tough to tell because of the injury situation. We don't know exactly what he's going through. Is it a leg injury? Is it, you know, we don't know what exactly it is that he's dealing with and how much it is affecting him and how much of his play he can play close to 100%. So let's talk about Tony Parker before we'll first talk about the game that he had, because that's going to be something the Spurs still got to kind of find on their roster to get some of that stuff that Tony was bringing to the team. And then we'll talk about what's going to happen going forward as far as the injury diagnosis. So Parker, he had his jumper going. He ends up scoring 18 points on 13 shots. Shoots a very efficient percentage there, 8 of 13 from the floor. With that jumper going, you know, anytime the Rockets try to go under screens, he could hit the mid-range jumper. He could just hit the pull-up. He could hit a three-pointer, spot-up three-pointer. So Parker turns into another main offensive threat for the Spurs when he's healthy and when he's got that jumper going. On the days that his jumper's not there, it's easier to guard him because he can just take away the paint. He was having a really good game, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal. He played 26 minutes. He was even getting by guys like Patrick Beverley. He was showing that classic vintage Tony Parker spin cycle in transition. He was getting some layups. And then a lineup that had worked for the Spurs against the Grizzlies and then now showed was even more capable in game two against the Rockets was that Parker and Patty Mills combo. Parker runs that 1-4 pick and roll or 1-5 pick and roll, and there's Patty on the outside to spread the floor with him. Patty can also penetrate the lane. So it was a really good effective lineup for Pop, and now he's basically lost it because of the injury to Parker. So late with about 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Parker went up for a teardrop. It was a non-contact injury. He just kind of lifted, shoots that teardrop, and when he came down, his leg fell limp, and he just kind of just fell on the floor. He was just holding it, and the play continued. They called a timeout. And then when I was there at the game, and you know the mood in the arena got very somber. Just you know you just saw Parker. He just wasn't moving. He was just holding that leg, and he wasn't really like an excruciating pain. It was almost like he was just looking at it, like you know, and so. When the team went and sent all their players to go get him, he could not walk on it. He could put no weight on it. After the game, guys like Monta Ginobili, Patty Mills felt, you know, you could tell it was really affecting them as far as like, you know, they kind of felt that he was going to be out long term. And so sure enough, Thursday, the team announced that it's a ruptured left quadriceps tendon. And though they didn't put a timetable, one of our Project Spurs, former writers, he's sort of the Spurs cast, Aaron Prine, was on Twitter. If you go look at his Twitter feed, he had some good comments on as far as like what injury prognosis is and a timeline usually. So like Aaron was kind of estimating, you know, obviously it's not anything by the team, but he was kind of estimating maybe like a January return. So you're talking Parker probably rehabbing, you know, he'll be age 35 at that time for a whole year, probably rehabbing, and who knows whether he even comes back next season, if it's going to be that long or if it's mid-season. So we'll see with the team as far as when he does come back. But the Spurs do lose a huge part of their team with Parker. You know, he was, as I mentioned, in these playoffs, both taking the Grizzlies series and the Rockets series into account, he was the Spurs' second best playmaker. He was giving his usage percentage was 26.5%, just behind Kawhi, who was like at 28.8%. So Aldridge was kind of able to survive, like not being that you know, have not having his best play right now because Parker was played so well. You know, nobody actually predicted that Parker would be playing this kind of basketball after the regular season. You know, he kind of tamed his minutes. He really took his body. He kept took care of his body. Any kind of little nagging injury, he'd make sure he would sit out. He missed 19 games. So this is actually the best he's been playing since 2014. Back when he was averaging 15.9 in these playoffs, and back in 2014 he was averaging around 17 points a game. So he was having a great playoff run. You know, shooting high percentages, over 50% from the field and 50% from three. And now it's unfortunate that you know, he had one of his, you know, he's actually stayed relatively healthy as far as like any kind of tears like this. And this is a rough one for him, especially at the latter part of his career, now that he's going to be 35 in a few days on May 17th. So the Spurs are losing 27.9% of their points that Parker gave them. They're also losing 33% of their assists. So they're going to have to find something, whether that's DeJounte Murray getting in the start or just playing extra minutes now, whether that's Patty Mills starting or getting way more minutes, Monta Ginobili, Jonathan Simmons. You have to look at the roster to see who is that playmaker. And the tough part is you got to really look at the pick and roll skill set. Who is the guy who can run the pick and roll along with Kawhi? And those guys are obviously Manu. Simmons has that capability, even though he's very inconsistent with it. He can have good and bad times. Murray, you know, he's a young kid. He had a really good game early in the year in January against Cleveland on the road. He played very well, matched up against Kyrie Irving, ran the Spurs' ship when Parker was out. But, you know, then he also had some max minutes of 20-plus minutes where he didn't have great games. And so, you know, it's expected. He's a rookie. You know, how long does Pop throw? I think Pop will definitely throw him into the fire, let him get some minutes in the playoffs. And it just depends. He has a lot of upside. You know, that upside's really not supposed to be come out until, you know, in the future, and probably next season or past that in the next 2 to 3 years. But now, you know, this is it's an unfortunate circumstance, but the Spurs have the team equipped to kind of deal with it because they, like I said, Parker missed 19 games this year. So Murray got reps. Patty Mills got reps. They learned how to play without him as far as like knowing that he wouldn't be there. But, you know, he's such an integral part of their team that they're going to need a lot of guys to step up and kind of fill a little bit of those voids that they lost as far as like his attacking ability, his playmaking, not being afraid to take a tough shot in late in the moments. Keeping like guys like Pau Gasol and Marcus Aldridge, keeping them like where they're supposed to be as far as like getting them the ball, calming the offense. That's something that the team has had trouble with in the past when Parker's not on the floor. Guys kind of rush the shots. You know, they need their floor general on the floor. And so this is going to be this is going to be very tough for them actually to try to continue going without Tony. And so we'll see what Pop does as far as the lineup and how those guys like Murray, Simmons, Manu, and Patty Mills can continue going forward. Shifting to the Spurs' offense, they shot 55% from the field, an excellent night. They made 9 of 24 threes, as I mentioned there. Kawhi had helped dish out 5 of those 9 made threes. They shot 16 of 18 from the free throw line, 89%. San Antonio continued to move the ball. They did that at a very well rate, 27 assists on 48 field goals. They assisted on over half of their field goals that were made. So they continue to kind of break that Rockets defense by moving the ball, keeping players' bodies active. And that's what you need to do, especially for a Rockets team that was ranked 18th defensively. You know, they're not going to be stellar every night. And you can kind of break them by moving that ball and getting all over the place. San Antonio took care of the ball. They only finished with 8 turnovers. I think in game 1 they had 15. So in the first half they only had 1 in game 2. And if they did lose the ball, they did a good job at least getting back. So Houston only got 7 points off their turnovers. For the Spurs' bench, they got 36. They were almost even with the Rockets. So they got outscored by 1 point, which isn't bad. They continue to move their bodies as far as trying to break that Rockets defense. They a lot of times you saw guys like Patty Mills, Manu Ginobili, Danny Green. They targeted James Harden on defense. You know, that's one thing is Harden can you hate to say it because he's such an elite talent. He's probably he's definitely an MVP candidate, but the guy falls asleep. You know, you can just watch him for an entire game and just watch him on defense, and you'll see he might try that first initial rotation, and then that's it. I mean, he'll let somebody, a guy like Manu Ginobili, who's 39 years old, can easily just kind of slip back door away from him because Harden's just constantly watching the ball. And that's something I think the Spurs need to definitely look toward, is targeting him more so in game 2. Even a guy like Danny Green got going against him. John Simmons came off the bench. He did a really good job to start the fourth quarter where he started at the 4. He really gave Ryan Anderson matchup problems just because he can kind of take him off the dribble, beat him to the rim. And that was something that I think the Rockets coaching staff didn't expect. It looked like it because their players were kind of shocked by how good Simmons was playing, being aggressive, getting to the line, kicking out to teammates. So Simmons gave the Spurs 14 points off the bench in that night. And you know, once he gets a few layups and dunk attempts, then he his 3-point shot starts getting up because his confidence is rising a little bit. Looking over to the Spurs' 6-minute mark, you know, this is the everybody, not everybody, but you know, when Pop, everybody kind of knew that Pop was going to make a change to the starting lineup because you know that David Lee starting five didn't work in game one where the Spurs got blasted. They really fell into severe scoring droughts. Now he started Pau Gasol, and your initial reaction is okay. You know, offensively, he spaces the floor. He gives Kawhi, he gives LaMarcus, he gives Tony some room to work more offensively because he can shoot that elbow jumper if they leave him open. He can shoot the 3-pointer. He can crash the offensive glass. Kind of the scoring wise is fine on offense, but it was the defense that everybody's kind of worried about because, you know, you see Pau against James Harden in 1-on-1 pick and roll out from the 3-point line in space, and you automatically think it's 2 points or a 3-pointer for Harden, but Powell has to get some credit. He played very well on both ends, on defense and on offense. As you can see there in the game two scoring drought, the game two scoring increments chart, the Spurs never really had a scoring drought in that entire game. In the first 6 minutes of the game, they put up 19 points on the Rockets. They kept those high scoring averages up. They never really faced a huge deficiency as far as like falling, going through a 6-minute stretch without scoring more than 10 points, I think. So Powell really gets some credit there. One lineup that was really well, that worked really well for the Spurs was the start of the fourth quarter. The game was still kind of close. And like I said, Pop threw out a lineup with Gasol at the five, John Simmons at the four, I think Danny Green at the three, and then Parker and Mills at the one and two, or Monty was on the floor with them. And that lineup, you know, before Kawhi came back in, they were outscoring. They were really just shredding the Rockets' defense. And they ended up in that first 6 minutes outscoring the Rockets 18-5. And that basically put the game away. I mean, that just added to the Spurs' lead. And that's something that the Spurs can kind of go back to and maybe experiment with it still. But it's tough because now Parker's not there. And he was a key part of that rotation because of the way he can just kind of break down the defense with his pick and roll ability. Looking over at the Rockets' defense, they didn't shoot an insane percentage like they did in game one. Some of their shots didn't go in, obviously. Credit has to go to the Spurs' defense, which we'll talk about in a little bit. The Rockets shot 45% from the floor. They only made 11 of 34 threes. You know, that's basically less than half. That's half of what they didn't make that they made in game one. In game one, they made 22. They didn't get 50 3-point attempts. So the Spurs' defense, again, got back on defense, trying to run them off the line. Definitely try to stay communicate in transition to make sure that they weren't allowing a lot of 3-point looks. And so the Rockets shot 32%. When they do that, that's a rough time for them to try to win a ball game. They didn't get to the free throw line a lot, just 11 of 15 from the free throw line. The Spurs won the battle of the boards by 15, 47-32. They grabbed 9 offensive rebounds against Houston. And one guy, again, I want to talk about was Pau Gasol. He ended up finishing with 13 rebounds, and he ended up grabbing 6 offensive boards. So even if, like I said, LaMarcus's shot wasn't going in, he was having a rough night. But even when they'd missed, Pau was there to get some extra buckets. And, you know, he has some size, so he can finish for some putbacks or just kick the ball out and get extra attempts for his team. In transition, that's where you really see the Spurs' defense really had a better job. In game one, I think they gave up 27 points, and in game two, they only allowed the Rockets to get to 13 points. They got back in D to try to run them off that 3-point line and really had bodies back there in the paint to make sure that Houston couldn't really penetrate and tally up those points. James Harden had a rough night, finishes with 13 points on 17 shots and 10 assists. Now, before I start talking about Harden's what the Spurs did to Harden on defense, I do have to comment that, you know, at the start of the game, he looked you know, like himself, very aggressive, and then he had a quick little hip injury, which Mike D'Antoni talked about. Even though D'Antoni said it didn't really affect him the rest of the game, I kind of thought that it did. It looked like Harden wasn't, you know, as aggressive, or he looked like he kind of lost a step for the remainder of the game after that initial hip injury. And, you know, he's a tough guy. So I think just like him and just like Aldridge, I think Harden's also dealing with some stuff as well in that game. So one definitely adjustment you saw from the Spurs defensively was Kawhi Leonard was the initial defender now on Harden. And you know, they talked about the Spurs players was that, you know, the point is you kind of want Kawhi on Harden, and you're going to get that when he's on Ryan Anderson because, you know, they're going to eventually switch. But why not just start right from the gate? So that way, if you do have to switch, you have somebody like Danny Green guarding him or Aldridge or somebody, a wing like Simmons or Manu. So they just decided to go straight to the start with Kawhi on Harden. He pretty much guarded him most of the game. The Spurs had more communication in transition. So if Harden got a defensive rebound and he'd take off, you know, whether it was Aldridge or Pau Gasol or Tony Parker, somebody picked him up and they made sure to communicate and stay at home on his outside options and his shooters. One thing they did was they kind of implemented that Oklahoma City strategy a little bit that the Thunder used against the Rockets in round one, where on the outside wings and corners, the Spurs' help defenders kind of stayed with those players. They didn't want to give up any of those outside left or right 3-point looks for Harden. So it kind of made it like a two-on-two pick and roll game between Harden and whichever Spurs defender he was going against, and that kind of worked. You know, Pau Gasol had four blocks in the game. Aldridge had two blocks. Kawhi had a block, and so they kind of used that team effort. You know, they had to live with if Harden got a layup, which he didn't get many. That helped also take away some of those lob dunks to Capella. He didn't have a lob dunk; he had a lob layup. But it was it made him it made Harden's night tougher. He only made three shots on 17 attempts, so that's obviously not a great percentage at all. And then you know they kind of lived with him making some of those 3-point shots with the contested threes that he likes to take, whether that was over a big or a guard on the hard hedges. One thing you saw was the Spurs kept instead of putting Danny Green on Ariza, they put Danny Green now on Ryan Anderson. And what this did was anytime that Harden and Anderson got to run that 2-4 pick and roll that they like to run, where they get to Anderson that wide open three, Danny could easily switch onto Anderson or onto Harden, and then Kawhi could get it back onto Anderson or vice versa. They could hedge it, and they don't lose a lot of ground. Whereas the Spurs tried to they put LaMarcus Aldridge on Ariza, and they kind of dared Ariza to shoot. They said, you know, basically, you beat us in game one. I think Ariza had 23 points, and they left him open. This time, you know, if Aldridge tried to hedge hard to help Kawhi get back around on defense, they left Ariza open, and Ariza, he shot 1 of 5 in the game, 0 of 4 from three, and it was kind of, in a way, it was almost regression to the mean. You know, during the season, he didn't have a great 3-point shooting season. He only shot 34% from three. That's below league average, and so you kind of the Spurs, you have to gamble, you have to give up something on defense, and I think the Spurs were okay with giving up Ariza some of those open pick and pop looks on those Aldridge Kawhi hard hedges so that they could kind of try to contain Harden. So Harden had a rough night. You know, another day of rest should help him get back to 100%. And of course, you know, D'Antoni's going to make some adjustments to try to get him a little bit more effective, even with Kawhi now guarding him as the initial defender. Some other Ryan Anderson finishes with 18 points on 9 shots. He grabs 8 rebounds for the Rockets, so he had a good game as far as like just being a recipient of open passes and continue to create for himself, create shots. And he was, you know, even if they were contested, they were going in for Anderson. Eric Gordon comes off the bench with 15 points on 12 rebounds. Some of the Rockets' playmakers, though, who didn't really have a great game that they really rely on when Harden's especially having a rough night, was a guy like Patrick Beverley, takes 13 shots and he finishes at 12 points, also collects 3 assists. Lou Williams, you know, he's a guy who can easily come off the bench and give them 15 to 20 points, and he only scored 4 points on 7 shots, so he had a rough night. So even though their bench did outscore San Antonio's by 1 point, it wasn't enough because, you know, Harden really needed more support as far as from his teammates now that that the Spurs' defense was doing a great job of trying to making it a tough night for him. Some adjustments to look forward to in the next game, which is game three, which will be on Friday in Houston now at 8:30 on ESPN. The series does shift to Houston. Some things to watch for is I think one thing to see was that Pop rested Kawhi a little bit earlier, so he didn't wait. Usually Pop lets Kawhi in the playoffs play the whole first quarter, then he lets him rest you know, a few minutes to start the second, and that's usually where San Antonio kind of loses their lead, or if they're down already, you see that lead blow up from the opposing team. This time Pop kind of pulled him earlier on the 8 minute mark, I mean not 8 minute mark, around 4 minute, 3 minute mark, let him get a few minutes of rest, and then brought him back in to start the second quarter. So that might be something to watch. As I said, that small ball unit with Jonathan Simmons at four was really effective to start the fourth quarter. And again, I think Powell definitely starts again because he helps ease some of those scoring droughts. The biggest thing again will be, you know, who does Pop start at point guard? Because I if you want to go the traditional way he does in regular seasons, he'd probably start DeJounte Murray to keep the consistency on the bench with Patty Mills playing with that second unit. So you would see maybe like Murray start for like the first 4 minutes. He get pulled like at the 8 or 7 minute mark, and then Murray comes in. I mean, and then Mills comes in and kind of takes over and plays max minutes from there on. And then same thing for the third quarter. Or since it is a playoff game now, maybe he just starts Mills right from the get go and kind of gives Murray those backup minutes when Mills needs a rest, but kind of like on a leash, where if, like, you know, if Murray starts messing it up for the team, starts turning the ball over or missing rotations on defense, I think Pop, you'll see Pop pull him quickly and call for Patty, or go with a non point guard lineup like with Manu, or at the one, or John Simmons at the one. I think both of those guys are capable of running the offense as well for limited periods. So it'll be interesting to see. I think the guy who has a lot to gain here is Murray, where if he can really have effective minutes as far as, like I said, just running the team, making sure, you know, if he's got a fast break taking it, he's really skilled athletic guy who can kind of get to the rim at will whenever he sees the opportunity. And then it's not turning it over, making bad passes or missing defensive rotations. I think that there's a lot of upside for him in this series now that he's going to be playing probably. And if not, you know, it gets really tough because they're really going to rely on Manu, Simmons, and Mills to try to help Kawhi with that playmaking ability. Or if really what it comes down to is can Aldridge get going? You know, now that Patty's probably going to play in a lot more minutes, there's going to be more spacing because as good as Parker is, the Rockets still, a lot of his open three-point looks were open because the Rockets didn't really respect his three-point shot. They would double team a lot on LaMarcus and Kawhi. So now with Mills out there, you know, if the Rockets try to double team, that's going to be an even more lethal three-point shooter to help space out the floor. So we will see what Pop does as far as tinkering with the lineup now that Parker's out, and that's some adjustments to watch, as well as what D'Antoni does to keep to get Harden a little bit more effective looks now that Kawhi's guarding him. For Project Spurs, I am Paul Garcia.